Welcome back to Amit Sehgal Telegram. Today, we have Kaur with us, an Israeli political affairs analyst, to break down some recent posts. Kaur, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So let's dive right in. First up, Naftali Bennett is making some pretty strong claims. He's saying the recent strike in Iran wouldn't have happened without his actions back in 2021. What's your take on this?
Well, it's classic Bennett, isn't it? He's always been keen to take credit. The Amit Sehgal Post quotes Bennett as saying, "What happened here in Iran is unequivocally from my time. Without our actions in 2021, it would not have been possible to carry out in 2025. It's a bold statement, and whether it's entirely accurate is, of course, debatable.
Right. And the Prime Minister's office fired back pretty quickly, calling his claims embarrassing and accusing him of trying to steal credit for 40 years of work.
Exactly. The PMO statement is pretty brutal. They're saying that for 1 year of minimal action, during which he gave tens of billions to the Muslim Brotherhood Party, he is trying to steal credit of 40 years. It's a very pointed rebuttal. It highlights the deep political divisions that still exist.
He also said he wouldn't sit under Netanyahu and blamed Edith Silman for the government's collapse, preventing the elimination of Sinwar. And then he blames Lapid, his successor, for not implementing his plan. That's a lot to unpack.
It is. He's essentially rewriting history to paint himself in the best possible light. Blaming Silman is a well-worn tactic, and accusing Lapid and Netanyahu of failing to execute his plans allows him to avoid responsibility for the current situation. He's also conveniently forgetting, or perhaps downplaying, the criticism he faced at the time for increasing the number of Gazan workers allowed into Israel.
Right. He claimed that was a deception to eliminate Sinwar in the end.
Yes, which sounds, let's be honest, a bit far-fetched in retrospect.
Moving on, there's also this incident involving settlers and an IDF battalion commander. The settlers are claiming the commander acted violently and that one of them was shot by the IDF.
This is a very sensitive issue. These kinds of clashes are becoming increasingly common. The Post mentions that the settlers present at the event on Shabbat night claim that, quote, "the battalion commander acted violently. A young man was shot in the shoulder by IDF fire," end quote. An investigation is underway, but these situations are always politically charged and difficult to resolve fairly.
Absolutely. Then there's Smotrich's statement about peace through strength and expanding the Abraham Accords. He's very adamant that Israel shouldn't have to pay for peace with concessions to the Palestinians.
Smotrich is doubling down on his hardline stance. He's saying it is so absurd that there are those who even imagine that we are the ones who should, quote, pay for these peace agreements with the hard and dangerous currency of agreeing to give up the territories of our small homeland and establish a Palestinian terror state that will endanger our existence and our future. He's clearly positioning himself against any concessions to the Palestinians as part of a broader peace deal, especially with Saudi Arabia. He believes normalization is in their interest, not ours, and that we shouldn't beg for it.
He also mentions Trump and how he will help secure peace.
Yes, he's betting heavily on a Trump return to power. He sees Trump as someone who will dismantle the lies of progress and reject the idea of a Palestinian state, paving the way for a different kind of peace based on strength and mutual interests. It's a very specific and, some would say, unrealistic vision.
Finally, Trump is criticizing Netanyahu's trial, calling it a political witch hunt, and saying it's interfering with negotiations with Hamas and Iran.
This is significant. For Trump to weigh in so strongly on an ongoing legal case is quite unusual. He says, How is it possible that the Prime Minister of Israel has to sit all day in a courtroom for nothing? This is a political witch hunt. This distortion of justice will also harm negotiations with Iran and also negotiations with Hamas. It's clear he sees the trial as a distraction and a hindrance to Netanyahu's ability to lead, and it's a strong signal of support, likely intended to bolster Netanyahu's position both domestically and internationally.
So, a lot of political maneuvering and posturing going on.
Absolutely. It's a very turbulent time in Israeli politics, and these Amit Segal posts offer a glimpse into the key issues and the different perspectives shaping the debate.
Karay, thank you so much for your insights.
My pleasure.